We've been walking through this one powerful verse in this series that we've nicknamed Reignite, Awakening the Spirit Within. The verse reads 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. Throughout this series, we've been asking one specific question. How do we rekindle the spiritual fire inside of us? And as cold as it is outside right now, I don't think anybody would be opposed to a little bit of fire, would they? Nice and warm. Week one, we met a guy named Timothy, and Paul told him to fan the flame, the gift of God. Then we were reminded that, the Spirit is indeed a gift, connecting us to God. Then 2 weeks ago, because the snow interrupted our series here, we talked about what the Spirit removes. We spent a whole week talking about the idea of fear. And today we're going to start turning to what the Spirit gives me. So he takes out the fear to make room for something else. And the very first thing that Paul says that he gives us is power. And so that's today. The Spirit doesn't just give us confidence. He doesn't give us success. He gives us power. But what does that mean? Power. And how do I experience it? Power. More importantly, how do I live it? How do I live like I am empowered by the Spirit? So I got to thinking about this and had a couple of different ideas on how I was going to handle this topic, because it's kind of a little bit of an abstract idea. So if you're a fill-in-the-blanker, go ahead and just put your bulletin down and put your pen down. You got a little bit. Because we'll get to the blanks eventually, but we are going to start today with one giant object lesson. And the object lesson begins with a very simple item. Here it is. I have a light bulb. It's not a special light bulb. It's not even a new light bulb. It's been used quite a bit, but I have a light bulb. And my light bulb only has one purpose, right? Which the purpose of a light bulb is to give off light. But right now, my little bulb has all the potential, but it's missing something. It has none of the power. It has absolutely, positively no power. I am not Uncle Fester. I can't stick it in my mouth and make it light up. It doesn't work that way. But you know what I do know? Someplace out there, in a place I have never been, I have never seen, they've never granted me a tour of, there's a power plant. Now, I know this power plant exists because I look around our auditorium here and there are lights on. So I know it's there. I am the beneficiary of this power, even though I have never, ever, ever been to this power plant. Of course, this power plant can run 24/7 and just put out all the power in the world, but it does me absolutely no good unless, guess what? Yeah, maybe you've been complaining about these guys, depending on if your power went out during the storm. Maybe you're very thankful for them because your power did not go out during the snowstorm. But you understand between where I am standing right now and the power plant that is out there somewhere, there is a network of lines, transformers, poles, and, people that maintain all of this, crews. And all of this is working together to deliver power to my one little light bulb. Now, as I tour this building, there is, throughout the building, there are connecting points in this building. We call them receptacles. And as I wander this way, and you probably can't see it very well because of the plants, but you're just going to have to trust me, it's here. There is a receptacle here that allows power to have access right here in this building. But I got a problem. The connection is here, but my bulb is over there. So I guess I could call myself an electrician, right? And put out a whole bunch of money and basically have somebody that is a professional come in and run me a receptacle over there so that I could use the power. Or I could go a cheaper way, a more efficient way, a way that I can actually handle my power issue all by my little self. Who says I don't know how to use a pulpit? I know exactly how to use a pulpit. You see, I have the receptacle, but now I have to figure out how to get this power into my life. And it's really not that hard because, look, I have this device, and we can drop the power right there, and then I can come along here, and I can put the cord out here, and I can keep bringing the cord. I can bring it right by the baptistry, and I can bring it all the way around, and I can pull it all out. And look, I've got enough cord with plenty to spare. So I'm getting there, right? Now I've got the power from the power plant coming across the network, coming to the receptacle that I pulled my power out of. Click. There we go. And now I've got this, but I still have a problem, don't I? That doesn't work. This and this were not designed to go together. Which is a shame, because I've got all this power here. What am I supposed to do with it? If only some intelligent person had made a device that on one end would fit here, and on the other end had something I could put this into. You know, the good news is we live in an intelligent world, and there are lots of intelligent people that come up with lots of intelligent of little inventions, and guess what? They've already made one of these. I don't have to create this. I don't have to go out and get a degree in engineering. I don't have to come up with this. And I don't have to play with fire, which you guys are really thankful for, because we have a device that already does this. We call it a, come on, participation. We call it a lamp. And guess what? It fits perfectly. And guess what? On this end, well, would you look at that? I'm all the way along, and I'm not going to trip on my own little power cord here. That would be, like, really different. But I screened that light bulb in. That was kind of anticlimactic, don't you think? I mean, I look around, and I see the lights on in the building, so there's power. And I tested this receptacle, and so there's power, and I ensured that my connection was made, so there's power. And this cord, I know this cord is good, because I just used this to do Christmas decorations, and we just took it up. I know this is good. Where's my power? Why isn't my bulb on? What? I got a what? You're kidding me. All of this hard work that somebody went through to put a power plant together, all of the crews that are working, all of the people that work to manufacture receptacles and build this building, all of the people that put these drop cores together, and all of these people that build lamps for us to use in our house, and you're telling me it all comes down to the fact that I have to flip the switch. Wow. You can't have it. It goes back in the office. Here's the point. The power is there. The connection is made. But the release of the power is all my choice. It's all about what I choose to do with that power. And that's sort of where we're going today. Because what I want to do is walk back through this little object lesson, and I want to dig a little deeper, because believe it or not, everything you just saw with your own eyes, Scripture describes with the words and the relationship of how the Spirit provides power into our lives. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. We got the power plant that's out there somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know where the power plant is that provides power from here. Somebody here probably knows. I do not. You know, that doesn't matter. Do I have to know where that power plant is to have power? Do I have to understand the physics behind a power plant to get power? Do I have to go get a degree in how to build a power plant to get power? But I know it's there. And you know what? In our little object lesson here, that power plant is represented by God. And this is kind of like the Godhead proper. We'll get into all the different pieces here, but we need to remember God is the creator, the sustainer, and the initiator of power. We don't manufacture this power. It is given to us. Just like electricity, we don't create it. It comes from beyond who I am. We know it's real because the lights come on. If there was no power plant, I could sit here and play with all of the stuff all day long, and none of it still works. There has to be an ultimate power source. And now you can pick your pens back up if you're a fill-in-the-blanker. We're going to pick up where your blanks pick up. And we need to understand, there we go, that God is the actual power source. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. It's not positive thinking. It's definitely not human strength. It's not religious performance. And you know what? God never runs out. Oh, and He doesn't send me a bill at the end of every month, which is really kind of cool. He gives generously to those that, notice what I had to do first. There's my light bulb connected to my lamp, connected to my drop cord, connected to my outlet, which is connected to the power lines. This is connected. You have to have the connection. Or you get absolutely, positively, no power. Now again, that power needs delivery because power doesn't reach me without a system. And you have to appreciate that like the electric grid, God had Himself a cloud that He built. Yeah, I know, the people in Silicon Valley think they're the ones that invented the idea of the cloud. God was thousands of years ahead of Him. Okay, because He created a cloud that came across time and space and people. He tells about it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God's cloud of witnesses. His written word. His people. David mentioned about how our church is a family. His truth carried through time. You do understand your Bible wasn't written overnight, right? If you're reading and going through the 365, you've gone way back in time. In fact, all the way back to the beginning. And it just kept going and going and going. God did not just drop power into the world. He carried it through history. Now, I do want you to understand something. They, the system, the cloud, the witnesses, they don't create the power. They simply delivered the power to us in this guy named Jesus. He's not an idea. He's a person. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." This is important for you to remember. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a good teacher. He was God in human flesh, and He was a new power source, still connected to God. But Jesus was power Himself. He is a fixed point of power, though, that somehow I got to figure out how to get my life plugged into, right? I've got some things that I have to consider. But the good news is He is available to all. Okay? He wasn't just sent to some or a few or those that really have something to give back. He was sent to each and every person. And well, in our object lesson, he is represented by this little receptacle that is over here behind our worship area here. He's here right close to us. But again, he's a fixed point. So you understand, somehow, some way, I had to get that power from here to there. See, because power has to have connection. And that's what the drop cord provided to us. This little brown drop cord ran across here, and it provides to me a connection between Jesus and my life, which is represented by this little bulb. It provided me this connecting point. You know what? You absolutely can sit in church your entire life and absolutely live powerless. Jesus understood this, and in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus' illustration here is all about the word of connection. He has the power that we need for our life. I bear fruit only if I remain connected to the power. Don't believe me? Watch. My light bulb went out. Well, of course it does. Because I broke the connection. My life has to not only connect to Jesus, it has to remain connected. And what is that connection? Well, that connection is through faith and relationship. Not a religion, folks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is a gift from... This drop cord represents my faith. How long is the drop cord? Well, that depends on how far I want to go with my light bulb, right? I mean, this little cord, I could take it down the aisle here. But if I want to get outside this building, I got to have a whole lot more faith and a whole lot longer drop cord. If I want to take it to the ends of the earth, I better get a really long drop cord. See, your faith is meant to grow because it is maintaining your connection. So let me encourage you. Don't settle for just proximity. If you really want your bulb to burn, you're going to have to go with plugged in. You're going to have to get connected. But the connection alone wasn't enough, was it? Because you know what? I can tell you this from experience. All power is not safe. See, for power to be usable, it also must be consumable. Remember when I stood here with the drop cord and the light bulb, and this is a three-prong socket, and this is something to twist in? There was no way I could use that power, even though the power was right there beside me. So we had to add the lamp. I'm sure you're catching on to what we're doing here. Now, you know what the lamp represents, right? Yeah. This is the guy we're talking about. The lamp represents the Holy Spirit. He is God and takes God's power through my connection with Jesus and my faith and applies it safely and purposefully. Could you imagine if I decided I just don't want to do this with the Holy Spirit and I'd taken my drop cord and said, I know there's power in there, so I'll just hold it really, the bulb really close, and I'll take a screwdriver and just stick it into the end of the socket and release the power. What do you think would have happened? Y'all would be calling the paramedics right now. This would have ended badly because you understand. The Holy Spirit has a job to do in your life. He connects himself through your faith, through Jesus, to you so that the power can run. Wow. That's not usually how we think about the Holy Spirit, does it? But that's exactly who he is. If I take him out, my connection doesn't work. That is the reason we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all three work in perfect unison to give us the power for our life. And well, he's got some very specific jobs that he takes care of. When you read through Scripture, you find out the Holy Spirit is the one that illuminates truth to me. When I'm reading Scripture and don't have a clue what I'm reading, sometimes when you ponder, you begin to hear that little voice, right? And you begin to think about the truth that goes behind it. He comforts in weakness. In our times of loss, in our times of loneliness, we are never alone, because guess what? If we're connected, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. He empowers obedience. Yeah, that's an important one. He gives us the ability to actually obey God. If I was to take the lamp out, if I was to take that out, I don't connect properly, and obedience is something that I'm just not going to do all by myself. And that's because he aligns us with God's will. That's his job. He doesn't just give power. He applies it exactly where you need it, when you need it. Once had a minister that constantly told me, God is always on time. He's never late, but he's seldom early. He gets there with the power exactly when you need it. So we're doing pretty good, right? I got my power plant. He's out there somewhere. He's doing his job. And I got my electric lines and my crews and all of my people. They're doing their job because my lights are on. I got my receptacle. It's right there. And I've got my faith. It's running right along here. I've got it all. And I've got the lamp here. But again, aw, yay. I can just keep doing this all day long, okay, until I blow a fuse or something, right? But you understand, eventually, the power has to be released. You see, you can have the power plant. You can have all the networks and crews. You can have the receptacle. You can have the drop cord. You can have the lamp. You can have the bulb. But unless you flip the switch, you got nothing. You got a bulb that won't light. You see, if you never flip the switch, the power never gets released. Paul doesn't say the Spirit makes you powerful. He says the Spirit gives you power. And that's kind of what we need to think about. This idea that the Spirit gives me my power means that he gives me the ability to act. Sometimes he calls me to do things that, you know what, I can't do that. The Spirit says, I got you. I can. You just have to let me work through you. The Spirit gives us the ability, the capacity to influence. It gives us the ability to go out there one-on-one in people's lives and tell our stories. Let people know what's going on in God, with God. It is literally, and I love this, is energy in motion. If you've ever hung around me for a while, you understand why I like this idea of energy in motion. The Spirit doesn't sit still. It isn't one of these things that just comes into being and it just says, okay, you've got the Spirit, find your seat in the pew and plop. It's supposed to energize us. Isn't that what power does? Which means, if you've made the connection, and the question isn't do you have it, but what are you going to do with it? See, I want you to notice something about the lamp's design. We call it an on switch, right? What is it? Again, it's an on-off switch. Which means even after I've made all of the connections, and I've made all of the thing, and I've got it all ready to go, and my bulb was burning, if I choose, again, I can reach up and I can limit the power's flow. Now, I do want you to pay something very careful here. Pay attention to what's going on here. Right now, the bulb is off. Is the connection still connected?
Yes.
Which means when I get things in my life and my bulb isn't burning, it isn't because I lost my connection. It's because I've limited my power. I'm not disconnected from the power source. We could get a little tester and go all the way through. I'm still connected. The problem is that I've got something in my life that is limiting my power. That's where sin comes in. Sin doesn't unplug you from the power source. It interrupts the flow, like moving the switch toward an off position. Wow. Okay. So you're telling me even after I've accepted Christ and I'm following as best I can, I am still going to have those moments in my life where I do something that is going to disrupt the power. Absolutely. Because that is the nature of who we are. In fact, it goes to the point that we understand they gave an actual churchy kind of word for this. This on-off switch, when we put it in the off position, we call it grieving the Holy Spirit. Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against Him. Just like in the object lesson here, that doesn't mean that God disconnects you. You're His people. But He does not bless rebellion. You choose to go live the way you want to live. You don't get to turn to God and say, but where's my power? I know where it is. You cut it off. You decided to put something in your life that is a barrier that is stopping that power from doing what that bulb was designed to do. And that bulb was designed to shine. See, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from ourselves. A jar of clay. I guess you could call that a lamp, couldn't you, if it has a light inside of it? But please understand something. The jar is not designed to store the power. This light bulb has no storage whatsoever. If it unscrews and it's not part of this, then guess what? It doesn't have a battery attached to it where somehow I can still turn it back on. It is not a storehouse. It is designed to be in constant connection and constant flow because the jar isn't supposed to store the power. The jar is supposed to transport the power. It's supposed to be a vessel that God's light, that God's Spirit fills so that you can take that Spirit out into the world. That's the point. That's the way it's supposed to work. See, this is noteworthy because make no mistake about it, God is raw power. Don't believe me? You can catch up with you. Let's just start reading through the Old Testament and just look at the power. The power to create, the power to part a Red Sea, the power to drown a bunch of Egyptians in a Red Sea coming back together, the power to have somebody that's well beyond birthing years give birth, the power to give somebody that never has sex the ability to give birth. Folks, that's power. That's who God is. And when we get to the person of Jesus, you understand Jesus is connectable power. He was sent in human form, flesh wrapped around Him, so that we could get to see Him, hear Him, listen to Him. Humanity got to experience God in a connectable way. In the Spirit? Yeah, He's important too. He's regulated power. He's there when I need Him, and when I go to Him, He's always there. 24/7, He's available to me. But you've got to get how the pieces work together. See, the raw power becomes connectable power, which becomes regulated power, so that I can become, displayable power. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You were made to shine. We are the image bearers of God. You were created for power. Not yours. His. And make no mistake about it, the power is absolutely, positively present. How do I know? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So let's ponder a few questions here for a moment, folks. Question one, are you connected or are you just near it? Do you have your own drop cord? Or are you hoping by chance maybe somebody got one of them two-pronger drop cords so that they can get all the way there and you can just siphon some of the power off whenever you feel like it? You need your own drop cord. You need your own connecting point. Here's a question. Are you consuming power in a healthy way? Or are you just like, when I need it, I'll pray my crisis prayer because you know what? I'm in a lot of trouble, guys. I need an explosion in my life. Or do you have this connection here where the Holy Spirit is connected through your faith to the bulb that God made you to be? Are you releasing it? Or are you just hiding it? See, folks, that's the real question. If I've got all of these pieces and parts, if I've made my connection, and I understand that I need the power, and I've got all of this, really what this comes down to is one simple step. Are you willing to flip the switch? Are you really willing to understand? The Spirit God gave us does not make me timid, but gives us power. Love and self-discipline.